Om Shanti. Good morning. So welcome to this session, which is on personal stories of harmonizing sanskars. So we have two very special souls with us today. I'll give a little introduction and maybe over the session they'll share more. But here to my left we have Tulsi Bai. Does anyone not know Tulsi Bai? Not know. Okay. Very special brother. He was born in a Sindhi family. He took Gyan in 1976, so it's almost 50 years with Baba. And his service was audio-visual. And also something very special about Tulsi Bai is he used to give the microphone to Bap Dada. Very special role, yeah? So hopefully we'll hear more about that. Based in Shantivan, is that right?
Yeah.
Although you have an office here, I found out.
These days, another brother is looking after.
Oh, right. Okay, good. Okay, so Brother David, you met him last night, yes, in Daddy Janki Park, yeah? He's been in knowledge over 40 years and 30 years been in Gyan Sarovar. And he's head of the art department. And also, as you heard last night, a lot of his service is to do with music. And I think we heard maybe he's lost count, over 100 musical instruments. Yeah, we were there last night, yeah? And also this morning, do you hear in the mornings the conch shell being blown? Do you hear that about when the sun rises, about 6:15 or so? Do you hear that? This is 6:45. That's David, Brother David. So he'll share more with us, yeah? Okay, so I've got some questions I'll ask and we'll have a discussion, and then there's time for you also to ask questions, and you can actually meet them personally as well as a treat at the end. So my first question, let's start with Tulsi Bai, tell us some personal stories about yourself, particularly in situations where you had to harmonise sanskars, and also what we're interested in is the method you used in your personal situations.
Well, see, when you ask me stories, there are not many stories, because in our student life, you know, if we were asked about a history subject, we'll say the history become when there is some quarrel up between some politicians or kings, then it become history or story. So I have not been that many situations through to get the stories, but of course I have taken precautions before it become a story. When I came in Madhuban, I was staying in center 2.5 years. And then we used to live like almost 10 sisters and me, myself. And it was easy.
There must have been some stories there with 10 sisters and one brother, don't you think? No?
Yeah, but I knew that I'm in sister organization.
Okay.
And then, you know, before Gyan, I saw my Lokik sister. We both were naughty. But when she married to family, and then I visited her, I could see great transformation in her, how humility came in my sister, or how was she harmonizing sanskaras, because it was really difficult for her, because our family sanskara and the family she married were mostly many different, and then she was able to harmonize because she married too. So when I got to surrender, I wanted to be surrender, then I knew that I had to mold myself. And I had to go according Baba's likings or the liking of the management seniors. And even in bhakti, I attended some Sufi saints, satsang. So I was seeing them, that they have relationship with the God as a husband.
Mm.
And they always praise God, but then for themselves, their souls, they feel like the soul has to be molding herself according God's likings. Or whatever God likes, I should become like that. So I adopted sanskara when I came in knowledge also. And secondly, as soon as I came in knowledge, what I saw, if you progress, someone will miss you and try to pull you back.
Mm.
Because being a Kumar, when I came in knowledge, before that maybe I was having few friends to go cinema theaters, coffee together or play together. And as soon as I became Baba's child, I kept distance from those friends. So they were upset for a while.
Mm.
Later maybe they appreciated me, but for a while they became upset. So as a Kumar, I came in center and I progressed because I was alone, so I could progress more fast. And some Brahmins, those who are maybe 10 years elder in Gyan than me, then they were a bit, I would say jealous, but they were feeling that I'm ahead. And the sisters are giving more attention to me because I was helping them for service. Then they inspired me to become a part of Nivasis for the and help them in being a center Nivasi. So when I became center Nivasi as a Kumar, or I could go in market easy, those days sisters were not allowed to go in marketing for a while, to buy the vegetables and all this. I was given money. The sisters, whatever they ask you, you can bring for them. And then those really inspired me to become a part of them. Now they thought, oh, see, now we have to request Tulsi Bhai for such thing. I need cream or I need this kind of vegetable or whatever. So they felt a little bit bad, but then I knew that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I became Madhupan Nivasi, and the senior sister, those the Didi, who gave me chance, gave me money or whatever, she kept me ahead. She felt, oh, I ask you to be center Nivasi, but you are going Madhuban. So she felt a little bit bad. So when, I knew that when you go ahead, someone feel bad for a little while, then later they appreciate you because you always respect them for their help to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was giving respect to them, and then it was easy for me. And but as you said, stories about that, I can share a little thing, but it's not a big story. But I wanted to share that sometimes what we see is not fully accurate. So as one day, because I was in third floor doing my tasks in a center, Jaipur center, and then trying to fill the bucket of water, and the tap was a bit slow. So for a while I just lie down. There was a bed on a roof. So I lying down, and by the time a sister came to see, and then she was sent by Didi to just check what Tulsi is doing, because I had to send him for marketing. And then she reported, Tulsi's sleeping, and maybe he's not well. So when I came down, and then Didi asked me, are you okay? Your health is good? I said, yeah. And I know, and this sister said that you are sleeping. I couldn't remember, because that was just about a minute I just went.
Mm.
So I asked the sister, did you see me sleepy? And she said, see, I didn't shake you, but I just saw from far away. Then I mentioned to Didi that you are not well. I will never see you this time, sleepy. So you may be taking rest. And then it happened that after 2 days, and that Didi asked me, Tulsi, just go and check what Amrita Ben is doing. And because I was gone through this situation, then I saw the sister is lying down. She had back pain, in fact. Then, because I was gone through, then I asked her, what are you doing?
Yeah, good. I could
see that she's lying down, but I asked her, what are you doing? And she said, I'm cooking dal, and so I have put a pressure cooker on gas and waiting for whistle. So as I was waiting for a bucket to fill, she was waiting for a whistle. And then I just reported that she's cooking. So, you know, when you go through this gathering, maybe what you see maybe is not fully correct. And this helped me for a long time, even, you know, when in Madhuban Didi Manmani asked me, what are they doing? Then I then asked them, what are you doing? If they are doing something different, they will be cautious. And they will do what, start doing whatever they want to say. So this helped me.
Great, thank you. Very nice. Not to assume. Yeah, very good. Very good lesson in that. So over to David, a personal story or two. No sound on the mic. Hello.
Yeah, I think I was remembering Daddy Komaka. Many years ago in a courtyard in Madhuban, and she used to meet one after one. Souls would come to Daddy and say hello to Daddy, and she used to meet each one equally, and I could see that Daddy made her meditation part of her life, like her everyday life, in the sense of there wasn't any place where she'd go for meditation, but she'd actually be in meditation. And I was thinking, well, Daddy's not sitting in a meditation hall or the classrooms and this, but you could see she was making meditation her world. And I remember once she said the biggest one of the biggest mayas for Brahmins was actually this aspect of presuming something, seeing something and then getting a picture of something and then presuming this is what's happening. And this is relating to what Tulsi Bhai was just saying. I remember once Lokik father, he said to me once when I was young, he had this quote, he said, believe nothing you hear and half what you see and then you're somewhere near the truth. And it's interesting because many times we hear stories, and of course even here in Madhuban sometimes a story comes out, such and such, or did you hear such and such, you know, this happened. And of course if you listen to that with interest and take that as actually real, that story, or true, and then many times I've experienced later that actually story was not like that at all. It was something completely different. And I was thinking, wow, how such, just this one bit of information or some bit of information that if it's not true and we take that in and then we create all this waste thought and thinking, all these negative thoughts or not good wishes for that soul. And then when you find that that's actually not really the case, you think, wow, how important it is to if we hear something, just to hear it, but not let it actually go in. And of course, this is quite an art because actually the world is made of stories, actually. Everyone has a story. And of course, and I remember when Dr. Nirmala first came to here to Gyansrover, when in her first year coming to Gyansrover, she didn't know who to believe. When souls would come to her with a story about something, each one would say their story in a way where it's like they're right and the other one's wrong. And then the other one would come and tell their story, and then they'd tell it in a way where they were right and the other one was wrong. Yeah. And of course, then Didi had to decide who was what was the truth in that in those two stories. And it's interesting because we don't, you know, I think more and more, for, even from my experience, it's like you hear something and you take knowledge of that, but not sort of take it really that that's actually the truth in a sense. And of course, as we know in our own experience, the most truth is actually in silence. If we go into that state of silence, then we sort of pick up almost like what is the real truth of something. And I think that's where, from my experience, if we're spending a length of time in a silent space, it's almost like when we feel a vibration of something, we feel what something, you know, whether that's true or not. Just as if we go into a room and it's a meditation room, we feel that vibration of power of Baba. If we go into a room where there's been some conflict or argument, we can feel that vibration as well. So that's also very important to know, to discern the difference between that. And of course, one of the big things which I find with in harmonizing sanskars is like, firstly, it's like, you know, of course, we, the very first lesson of Raja Yoga, we're all souls, we all have different parts, no one's going to play the part the same as me, and everyone is completely different. So can I accept that? And when I find that if I accept that, then also that's very much connected with, and sometimes it's, and we all have this experience as well, when we come across someone who thinks completely different, has totally different ideas, a totally different way of doing the same thing I would do and get to the same result, but a totally different way. And sometimes we have the urge of, we want to, you know, direct them or say, no, it's this way, you do it this way, this is the way it's done, you know, because that's the way it works for me. But for that person, it may be a complete different way which I just would never think of, and they get to the same thing. But that process, can I be that much as the observer to see that, just as an observer, and see the way that unfolds and get to that same result? Or do I want to have that, I want to say, no, you do have to do it this way, or it has to be done this way or this way. So that's one thing, when we can let that go, we find that then we're able to easily harmonize with that. And of course, the other thing is with drama. I mean, this is one of the, I think the, for me anyway, it's been this experience of, okay, do I accept everything as it is? Everything that comes in my world, in my vision, in the story in front of me, do I accept it as it is, or do I constantly have this sort of dialogue that, no, that's not right, this is not right, that should be this way, they should be doing that? All these sort of questions of, basically, it's questions of drama that I'm not accepting. You know, Baba sometimes says, you know, don't come into why today. It was also, you know, why and what and how. Because drama is as it is. There's no question. Even Baba says, drama is as it is. He says also, there's no one to blame. Yeah? And when he says that, it's like, okay, do we accept that really? Or do we think, when somebody does something, that they're to blame, especially if we think it's wrong? So he says, no, this is just drama. So this is such a deep, deep aspect of the knowledge, which if we do embark on that practice to really try to, okay, accept everyone as they are and everything as it is, and of course my part within that is, I can always interact with that in the present moment. That's all I can do. It's impossible to act in that in the past, and it's impossible to act in that in the future. I only have that chance in this moment now to do that. So that's sort of, and of course it brings everything back to this moment. What can I do with this moment? Do I accept this moment, or do I think I should be somewhere else? Or some, you know, this is a common thing now today. They say this, what they call FOMO. FOMO, fear of missing out.
Good. Thank you.
Can we miss out on anything, really? Hands up. Who thinks we can miss out on something? One hand there. It's impossible. If we understand the drama, we can't miss out on anything, actually. It's impossible.
Thank you. Because wonderful. You talked about the seniors and Daddy Prakash Mani. I remember that scene very well in the courtyard for many years. Wonderful. But I know Tulsi Bhai, you were very close to Daddy Prakash Mani. So I've got a question. It's for both of you, actually, but related to seniors. But how did Daddy Prakash Mani deal with a clash of sanskars? Maybe towards herself, if anyone did. But also how she dealt with others when they came to her. So can you share some practical and real experiences that maybe you've observed yourself?
See, Daddy Prakash Mani was kind of bold enough, and yet she was good to harmonizing or accepting the things, because she got sustenance from Brahma Baba, and Brahma Baba being father of humanity. So in my Rami life, or especially in Madhuban life, I used to see Dadi as corporeal form of Brahma Baba. As if Dadi is sitting on the seat where Brahma Baba should be, but because he is not corporeal, Dadi is there. And Dadi also, in Brahma Baba's time there were no foreigners in Gyan, or maybe a few, but in Dadi's time there were many Brahmins or all over world. The service was spread, and then especially when I see the sisters who surrendered themselves was because they saw and trust Dadi Prakash Mani. Some of the parents we talked, then how did you surrender your daughter giving to Dadi Prakash Mani sent, and they say we trust Dadi Prakash Mani. And then once I asked Dadi Prakash Mani also that how you send someone, a sister alone in a special country, it's far away, and especially when Bhavana Ben was sent to New Zealand a few years after that. Then she said, see, if 50 Kumars comes to me, they want a sister for their center in charge, I may soon say no. If 50 Kumaris of a group make, if they ask me for a sister, I may say no. But two families, if they come to ask me for a sister, I will say yes, because I trust that they will look after my daughter more than their daughter. And she gave me some examples, those who are taken care of. And so this is what Dadi Prakash Mani, how she managed. And a sister was sent to a center, she came back. She was sent again to another center, she came back. So almost four centers she came back. I asked Dadi, don't you feel bad, or don't you blame the sister, she is not settled anywhere? And she said no, because her bhagat, her karmic account is pulling somewhere else. So even she has many virtues, she has many values, abilities, yet she won't sit there unless she got free from those bhagats. Because those bhagats are pulling her somewhere else. So I won't feel bad, because maybe she will be settled somewhere else.
Interesting.
So this was especially Dadi's vision, accepting whatever they are and thinking of their future in brighter way, and not losing hopes. So this was Dadi Prakash Mani. Same thing happened here also. one of the question and answer session Didi Nirmala was asked by audience, that you know, you send someone in this country or there, this center, what you see, what you think? And she openly responded, this is your karma pulling you there.
Right.
And because the request come in the mean time when you come to us, so we sent you there, or maybe we get the touching to send you that place because you have some kind of account with that place or with that people there. So Dadi Prakashmani was that kind of person, and she was, you know, not getting emotionally disheartened or, you know, opposing someone. Like one day a brother went to Dadi Prakashmani for me. I was sharing my story, if I was talking over the stories this day. So a brother went to Dadi Prakashmani, and then she called me that this brother is upset with you. And what did you talk to him? I said, nothing wrong. And she called that brother also. So we were both in front of Dadi, and the brother was little senior than me, in fact. And he said, Tulsi said to me that you are, you will be helped, you will get help easily from that Shashi Didi, because you are friendly with Shashi Ben. For me, this was not wrong thing.
Not wrong.
Because easy, because I was connected with foreigners those days. And we were talking like that, you know, friendly with this person, friendly with that person. But the background he was from, maybe in his way, this was wrong. To, you know, maybe he took in wrong way. So for I just say sorry. This was not my intention. I meant this, that you are, I mean, she understands you easily and she will help you. So this was, you know, when Didi Manmohini also, if she get complaint, she will call both of the group, both of the parties or the person. Similarly, Dadi Prakashmani.
Did the other brother understand? You said sorry. What did the other brother do?
Yeah, we came back from Dadi's room with the sweet tollies and smiling and head shake hands. So this is how she sort out them if any situations happens. So
wonderful, lovely. Thank you. Great, David, with the seniors. Have you seen things happen and watched how the daddies, Dr. Nimala or Dadi Prakashmani, how they handled challenge? Have you seen situations?
Yeah, I mean, not directly in a sense when they're... I've actually been into sometime meetings when all the seniors and it's quite sort of, wow.
Share that then. We want to hear reality here.
Most of it's in Hindi, but it's quite sort of dynamic, the sort of discussions and all that, but I know sort of, I remember seeing Dadi Kumarka, and one thing I always noticed with Dadi, she would never say I. She would never use the word I. She would always say Dadi thinks, or Dadi was doing it. You know, like she would never use that sort of come back to I. So in my own experience, when I sort of, you know, catch myself when I think I'm doing this, or I have to do this, or this, or this, of course, then I realize as soon as I think that, of course, you realize you're going to be in trouble. Because as soon as we think I'm doing this and not Baba that's doing this, then I set myself up for all sorts of conflict of some sort. Because naturally, you know, when we say I'm doing this, and if somebody else is doing that and this is my department or this is my service or anything that comes into I and my, of course, then there's going to be some sort of conflict. And of course, when I used to observe Dadi, she would always say Dadi was thinking this and that, and of course she was the instrument, just a nimit. So it meant that, okay, Baba's doing, it's Baba's responsibility. And that's how Dadi was so light, because even though she had that position of head of the institution, she was always light and happy and cheerful, and she had that, you could see in Daddy, that was her, you know, her dana, her inculcation, because she really made that strong as being an instrument. Of course, in my own experience, I remember going to seniors, you know, having some trouble with others, you know, and one of the things with seniors, of course, is when you come to the seniors with a complaint, yeah, we go to our seniors for some sort of complaint or about someone else or something, they know that it's actually your story, not the other person's, you know. When we point the finger, you know, the three fingers coming back this way, yeah. So when we think it's someone else, actually it's not someone else, it's actually my story, how I can actually interact with that soul in a way where it is actually harmonizing the sanskaras. And of course, I remember going to Didi once and I was complaining about someone, they're doing this, they're not doing that, they're doing this and this. And in the end, she said, he's here to stay, deal with it. You know, and I was expecting Didi to say, you know, to bring him up and, you know, tell him off type of thing. And when she said that, I was a little bit shocked at the time because I was really thinking that, you know, this person was, and they were doing genuinely, you could say, something which was purposely to annoy or to, you know, upset you. But then it wasn't till a point where I sort of really got to that stage where I thought, okay, Baba says that everyone's playing their part. He's just playing his part. That's his fortune. But what's my response to that? And of course, then I realized, wow, my sorrow was through my response to that in a negative way as well. Because, you know, I used to think, Baba says, you know, if somebody's negative, shower flowers on them. I thought, how do you do that? You know, if you're really emotionally or whatever upset about someone's activity, then how can you shower flowers? It's impossible. I was thinking, how you do that? But then it's not till we get to that point where we really accept that soul's part as it is, it's their fortune, and my fortune is what I respond to them. And of course, when I had that experience, everything instantly just changed. It's almost overnight, it just changed. The situation wasn't there anymore because I thought, okay, if I need other help, get other help. Why should I expect that soul should do what I say? You know, type of thing. So it was really a big lesson in that sense. And of course, then after that, it was, and of course, sometimes we argue for something we don't even want, you know, just through attachment or something, attached to a role. And I'm in this role, I might not be happy in it, but I still want it. And of course, to let go of that as well, that sometimes that type of situation pushes you into that. And of course, I really believe like we're all always in the right place at the right time for the lessons we have to learn. And I was sharing with Natalie a bit earlier because of, you know, the classic example is when we don't get on with people, yeah? Maybe there's a group of people and we think, I've had enough of these people, you know? I'm going. So we go to another place. And then in 6 months, a year's time, the same story comes up with a different set of actors, but the same situation. And then we think, okay, is it the other people or is it me? You know? And of course, as we know, it's myself. You know, because that old classic saying, you know, there's one very classic little cartoon clip, yeah, and it's got somebody up on a pedestal and they're asking a group of people, who wants change? You know, who wants to change? No hands. So it's like, and of course the seniors know that too, you know, when we go to them, they know that we have to learn that lesson ourselves. It's not the other person. It's not the situation. The situations are going to be always like that. But my response to it is actually what counts, because that's my story. And of course, when we begin to understand that deeply, then of course, then we can accept everyone as they are. And of course, automatically that harmonizing of sanskaras is going to be there, because there's not like or dislike then. Baba doesn't say, I don't like this, I don't like that. He just says, drama. This is drama. It's like that.
Great, thank you. Great, good. So, another question I've got. You, both of you, come in to live in Madhuban, or you were in the centre for a couple of years, but Madhuban being such a powerful place, and of course, so many souls living here. So I actually asked Tulsi Bhai this question before I came on stage, actually, to say, how did you manage the sanskars and adjust yourself being in this place? And I got an answer I didn't expect and made me laugh, but you can share. How did you adjust and harmonize sanskars when you come to Madhuban?
Well, see, I know that if you are in gathering, you have to tune yourself. And when you are in gathering, few things may be common to face. Like, suppose someone loses mobile, and he or she thinks that Tulsi Bhai was there. Only he was there. Maybe she didn't even bring the mobile. But when she's looking for the mobile and she thinks she has lost the mobile, then she thinks Tulsi Bhai was only there. So maybe she blamed to Tulsi Bhai, or she maybe check my pockets whether mobile is with me or not. Don't feel bad, because in gathering it happens. Someone who loses things, he has right to check with you. So. And another thing, though, if you don't do something for someone, or doing something for others but not doing for a particular person, then he or she has right to blame you that Tulsi is just eating, drinking, sleeping. He doesn't do the work. It can happen. So if you are in gathering for someone who you won't help, you don't help, has right to blame you for not doing anything. It's okay. You had to accept it. So if something, maybe you are sick, you know, if I am sick in my department, my assistant is busy to do even my work. He has to do double work. So he may be not coming to look after me. The person who is in my room, maybe he is also too busy. Don't feel bad. Baba will send someone to help you in your sickness, or maybe even the workers around can come and help you, but Baba will send someone. Believe in Baba, have less expectation from the human. So if you do that, you will succeed. And lastly, you know, even you are in gathering, especially not these days, but in before few years, kind of two decades before, it was like, if you see someone talking to a sister or other one, they may blame you, because their angle of seeing was only that much, male and female, instead of brother and sister, or you know, friends, or so it has been tuned up most of that, but still people can blame you. So before I became Madhuban Nivasi, these few things were made aware by my sister there, that if you are going in gathering in institution, so far we were together and we all sisters, they understand you. But if you are in Madhuban is institution, in institution this things can happen, so don't feel bad or don't be discouraged. And this, don't be disheartened, this will happen. And if you pass this, then you are senior brother. If someone is senior brother or sister or didi or dadi, they have passed all these things. And otherwise not. Those who are active, they will only be blamed. Those don't do anything, they won't be blamed. So, if you are actively doing something or progressing, these things will happen. So, So don't feel bad. So these things.
Lovely, a sign of progress. You're going to be blamed, yeah. But just going back to what you said, nice to that you were giving some advice before. That's really nice to be, you know, just encouraged of what to expect and how to deal with it. And that's really nice to hear. But I have to say, there's a question for you, which I know the answer to, but I want everyone else to hear this as well. What clash of sanskars did you have with your people you work with? We can say juniors or people. So tell us the sanskar clashes. How many?
Well, I don't have much clashes because I...
Did you hear that? No sanskar clashes.
Because I had precautions, no? So I did precautions in the sense that, you know, less expectation, because in world also, when you think of generation gap, new generation has more specialties, abilities, or you can say more arts or abilities, but you don't expect as you are doing, they will do same way. Because if you have renunciation, don't expect from these people that they will renounce same way. You know, like when I became a Dubanivasi, I was told, you are surrendered, so whatever task you get, you will do. Whether you get a... So I got a... First I was a storekeeper in kitchen, and second job I got here was a milk department, seva and milk department. That was audiovisual department. So whatever seva was given, we did. Even like Brother Atam Prakash, he is gold medalist in MSc. Yet he was given seva in Toli kitchen, and he did humbly, and he is still doing that. So whatever seva we used to get, and everyone used to do the same. But slowly, slowly, there has come professionalism. You know, like a person who is surrendered in account department, he won't be able to, or who won't be happy to do seva in kitchen. So maybe slowly, slowly in yagya also some professionalism came. So for us, those who were old Madhubanivasi, or you can say in this language that seniors, some of them they expect the juniors to follow them. But maybe they were not doing that. But for me, I will say I have less expectation from my juniors. Give them more chance to do or more chance to grow, and appreciate them what they are doing, and encouraging them to do better even. And this is what I got sustained from the Adis, because when I was given audiovisual department, and the Adi said, "To see, I'm giving you, sending you in this department, but with this brother, but few of the brother have been with this brother for audiovisual department, but they were not succeed. Maybe this brother's sanskaras." And I said, "Okay, I got a blessing from the place I was there, that wherever you go, you will be succeed." So I will, and if Dadi is sending me, then definitely I will succeed. And I was able to manage with the brother, and I was able to progress, and Dadi always appreciated me in my department progress also. I always appreciate me what I'm doing, or maybe things which you were maybe not necessary to do, but if I have done and was a good plus point, and she appreciate more. Like, it's not just giving the microphone to Bab Dada or to the class teacher, but if someone, a professional singer has come to record from the professional singer some songs, and that he appreciated. So some cassettes appear in an audiovisual counter, which we did with our humble request from audience or from we requested some professional to help us and we were succeed, so that they appreciated what we are doing, some newness in so that they always appreciate newness in the departments or trust that we will be doing better and better. So same way I appreciate everyone, whatever they are doing, not becoming like a rude or not having like a old, not following just old fashion, but harmonizing with the new generation.
It's interesting you're saying how things have changed and souls come in now. We have to work with the souls that come in, and so you've adjusted yourself through that. It's great.
Yeah, I can say about Dadi Janaki. You know, Dadi was sustained by Brahma Baba, Bap Dada, and Dadi was living with the other Dadis. And you know, of course, there must be a difference between Brahma Baba and other Dadis. And then she was able to harmonize. And then here comes Jagdish Bhai, Birjwan Bhai, Nidra Bhai, and some more brothers and also sisters. She was able to manage with them. And then talk about the Jayanti Ben or Hansa Ben. Maybe generation gap was there, but she accepted all. And I saw even the sister who was helping Hansa Ben, but Dadi was following her direction. So, you know, the generation gaps, still she accepted and she was able to manage herself and appreciate the seva they were doing, or helping Babaji Yagya, or helping even her. So same way I try to.
Great. Thank you. David, do you want to share anything on coming from the West, coming to live in Madhuban, Gyan Sarovar? Did people adjust to you, or is it always you adjusting to them? Or anything to share, your personal experience?
Yeah, of course, coming to a different country, a different culture, was always different. But I think for my past, you know, I lived at some point in a very remote place in Australia. So I lived very simply, like village life in India, basically. Very simple, just the very, very basics. And I think that was a big preparation for coming here, because when I come here, means as long as you have food, water, shelter, the basic needs, I was happy with that even before. So when coming here, of course, one of the things I've noticed when foreigners do come here, Westerners, you know, we're used to a car, we're used to this, we're used to our own space, our own room, all these things which are, you know, here are a big thing to get. If they're not here, then of course we feel something missing. But when I come here, of course, and I come here painting Baba's pictures, so that's what sort of brought me to Madhuban, painting Shiv Baba initially, pictures of Shiv Baba, but that service sort of, and of course, in that process, of course, I stay in a little solar house here, which is the first construction in Gyan Sarovar, so it's a only separate little cottage in the whole campus, because it was the first place built. So that sort of was a feeling when I first come to Baba, was a feeling, wouldn't it be nice to have like a place of like isolation, a place where you have just the nature and quiet, very quiet, but also be able to come in amongst the gathering, to have that sort of balance. And of course that's what happened when I came here. So that was there, so that helped a lot. And of course then the culture, because you know, background, you know, we say, a lot of times we say in the West, you know, I am this or I am that, or I did an apprenticeship as a carpenter. So people say, you're a carpenter, but then I started painting. Oh, you're an artist or a painter, but then you play music. Oh, you're a musician. So there's all these different labels, but actually, I remember sometimes going to the carpentry department and I'd get a big canvas frame made for stretching the canvas, and then I'd be looking around who could help to bring it back to the art department, and there'd be no one, so I'd just carry it back myself. But then people on the way, the Bharatwasis, Madaman. He said, what are you doing carrying that? That's a labourer's job. I said, well, I need it to paint. But so I just carry it. I didn't sort of think that, oh, that's someone else's job, that I can't do that because that's a labourer's job. So all these types of cultural things like that, that here everyone has this job, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and they have that part, and maybe they don't go into another part as well, like multitask or... And so, because I didn't have that upbringing of that culture, I'm used to doing, as you know, in foreign, a lot of times when Marabat Wasis come to, or to foreign, they're sort of like amazed because they think, what? You run the centre, you work, you drive, you cook, you clean, you do all these things, but... And it almost like it's normal for someone in foreign like that, but for here, that's not, it's unusual, you know, because we're used to having all the separate things. So that used to be an interesting thing to still be in that, yeah, because Baba says we're all rounders, no? And sometimes, you know, if we think, oh, this, you know, to carry the picture frame, oh, that's a labourer's job or a lower caste or a lower sort of thing, you know, I don't want to get my whites dirty or something, you know, like, so there's all these very subtle things which, if we go past that, you know, because sometimes, you know, in the beginning, Baba used to get the sisters who come to surrender, especially from wealthy households, he'd get them to clean the toilet or the bathroom just to see if they were, had that humility or that sort of thing that, oh no, this is not my job or, so, you know, he was aware of that. And one of the things Daddy used to say, Daddy Komaka, I remember she used to say, one by one, Madaban Wasis, they come to Daddy, yeah, and they ask for something. Because in the earlier days, when souls would come to Madaban, whatever gifts they'd give to Daddy, and then Daddy would see which departments were worthy of that particular gift or that item, and then she'd give them. But when Daddy would say, one by one, everyone would come to her, Daddy, could I need this for my department or this, and she'd say yes to everyone. She wouldn't say no to anyone, but she would always really emphasize, be as a trustee of that particular thing. And that made all the difference, because when we're a trustee, I don't consider that mine. It's Baba's. I look after it, take care of it, but be in that state of a trustee. So that, right, of course, makes a world of difference, actually.
Great, good. Just a final question. I just told Sibai, when we're saying about harmonising sanskars, is it really just about me? Is it nothing to do with anyone else? It's about me, because... Yes, we have to change ourselves, but sometimes for many of us, when we can overanalyze, overthink and get lost in that, can we ever say, but it's their sanskar? Can I ever say that or not? Or do you ever say that?
See, there is a difference between seeing and understanding. Sometimes you do feel that this is their sanskaras, but the... If I had worked with him or her, I had to tune up myself too, because there is no one who want to remain bad, you know. Everyone wants to be...
There's no one...
Remain bad sanskaras.
Bad, okay.
So everyone likes to have good sanskaras, but sometimes their old sanskaras is too hard to transform. So if you try to help them, and the, you know, what is sanskara is missing of fullness, contentment. Most of time, the soul who is not contented become, you know, easily caught up in old sanskaras. If I'm really fulfilled, I can mold myself. So if I can help person to fulfill them, you know, appreciate them, have more respect, and talk to him or her with the politeness, with humility, and just suggest in right way, they may like to change, you know. appreciate, as Baba says, appreciate someone's speciality and then forgive them what they have done wrong, then give suggestion. Then they will change. They will accept you first. Then they will change. If I just blame someone, this is his sanskara. And I remember once Dadi Prakashmani was giving teacher's class. And she said, if I am saying this person will not change because of his sanskaras are too stubborn, or this person is not changed, I have been seeing him or her since 10 years, he has not changed. And Dadi said that, if you are saying that this person I am seeing since 10 years has not changed, you are not blaming the person, you are blaming my father, my Baba, that Baba, you are Supreme Surgeon, and this person being treated by you, he been taking medicine as a murli from you, yet not changing. That means your medicine is not working, your murli is not working. So you are not blaming the person, you are blaming Baba. That Baba's work, Baba's way of treatment or giving murli is not working on this soul. So every soul wants to change. So if you appreciate his qualities and forgive what he has done wrong, and then help him to transform, and definitely will transform. This is what Dadi did, and this is how we try to work.
Would anybody like to ask a question to Tulsi Bhai or David? on this topic. No? We've got all our answers, yeah? Okay, so I can carry on with some more questions. Can you share any funny or entertaining situations related to harmonizing sanskars? Anything you can share, David?
yes, sometimes over the years when there'd be a meeting for Nawasis, so like there's a Gyansrava Nawasi meeting and everyone would gather in the hall, mostly meditation hall below here, and I'd be the only foreigner here. Yeah, so I'd have to ask for some translation, so I'd have someone with translation. But then there'd always be some jokes or laughing, but I used to, you know, observe that all of a sudden everyone had just started laughing, and I'd think, that wasn't funny, you know. And then everyone would be quiet, and then something would be said, and then I'd start laughing, and then everyone would look around at me and think, you know. So just that cultural thing, you know, what we think's funny. It's very different in different cultures, you know, what something is. So things like that are very interesting in a culture, what's funny and what's not funny for you and what's funny for someone else.
Can you share anything?
Well, I can say when we used to have picnics in Peace Park, Dadis used to play with us. Like a group of children used to play same way, like having a train holding someone's back, shirt or sari, then like it used to be train like that. We used to play with dadis easily, such things. And but then I would say dadis also, how they harmonize sanskara, because they often had to let go the things, no, don't revise the past, the negative of past. Try to keep in mind what you have achieved, because most of the time, if we are in sulky mode because we remember negative thing or what have not happened according my choice, but if you just keep in mind good things which you have achieved, because no one is there here being a Brahmin have achieved less than worldly people. You know, everyone is, Baba is saying that, Baba used to say that everyone is stars, every star has their own world, and but every one is unique. So this means they have achieved a lot, and you know, if we keep in mind that what we have achieved, we will have good mood. And if you are in a good mood, it is easy to harmonize sanskaras. So try to have good mood. Because when you are in good mood, you accept easily whatever is happening easily. If you are not in good mood, even the good thing, the person in front thinks that he is doing good, but because you are not in good mood, you could get irritated. So maintain your mood, in fact, with the positivity, what Baba has given you, what you have achieved in Brahmin life. So less expectation from others. Normally it happens that, you know, when non-BK, we are in dealing with non-BK, we think he is non-BK, so we have less expectation from the person. But when we deal with the Brahmin family, we have more expectation that this is Madhupan Nivasi, 40 years in Gyan, so he must be like an angel. So sometimes we are not seeing what we are expecting, and we get upset. So, you know, as we have less expectation from non-BK, because they are not Brahmin. So amongst the Brahmin, maybe some people are caught up with post position, not doing more spiritual efforts. And because they are not having attention on spiritual effort, maybe not as we want to see them. So as we are having less expectation, from non-BK, I also have less expectation Brahmin, because some of them, they really not paying attention. They are busy in seva, or they are trying to give more position than the spirituality. So maybe they are having not attention, but so what I mean that the less expectation from family also, and try to mold yourself, and you become mirror for them, they will also change themselves. So try to work on yourself, so you become like a Bab Saman or a light or an angel, so then people can see themselves in you as a mirror, and they will transform themselves, they will mold themselves, instead of blaming them or instead of directing them. So this was.
I think Tulsi Bhai, you're always in a good mood. But it's a good point you said about where there could be clashes, because we have expectations of Brahmis maybe older in knowledge than me or have a position which creates a conflict inside. So any tips for dealing with that, David? Because you're surrounded by seniors.
Yeah. I mean, dealing with conflicts,
you know, the big thing I think for BKs is that when we see someone in position or long time in knowledge and they're not acting as we would like them to act, then that creates upset inside. So how do you deal with that? Or is that finished for you?
No. It's I guess sort of when Baba says, you know, this is a rosary, it's number wise, and everyone's still making effort. There's no one that's not making effort. So as long as the soul is still in the body, it's making effort. And, you know, Baba used to say, sometimes those who are seemingly in front are not really in front. Maybe it's the one behind, the yogi one, the quiet one, the silent one, that's actually more ahead. So when we understand the depth of that, it means that, you know, it's still a race. You know, Baba says we're still in this, sometimes he calls us a horse race, yeah? He says we're in this race, and of course one day we can be like this in a good mood maybe, or happy, and the next day we can be having maya. Yeah, so it can be fluctuating, but it's still that race. So when we understand that, it's like then we can accept that, even if it's a senior that may be doing something, we think, wow, they're so long in jnana and they're like this, what is this, you know, what is but then Baba says that too. He says, you know, this is maya, can come to anyone. One day you can be like this, one day you can be like that. So it's in that mindset we can then accept that situation as it is. Okay, it can be like this, it can be like that. So it's really that perception of that, not thinking, wow, this is a Brahmin for so long and they're like this. How can this be? How can this be Baba's thing, you know? He's not teaching this. But then Baba does say, these things happen. The ones sometimes in the front are behind, and the ones that are behind are in the front. So that whole understanding of that, the drama like that, is very important for that stability. And of course, the other thing is, it's an acceptance of that, of course, a fully acceptance of that, that it's a number wise and a rosary. Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to finish off by saying, as we have Tulsi Bhai here, can you just share a little bit of, in a few minutes, of your experience, and I don't know how many years you did it, of giving the mic in Bapdada's meeting, just a few minutes, or we are lucky to have you here in person, share a few minutes. I think it's quite special.
Yeah. Well, see, nowadays we have technology. Mm-hmm. Those days we were having less technology, and the Baba used to come and history hall or meditation hall, and I used to observe Baba not to high meditation or lost in meditation, but just observe, having fully attention on Baba's face, then I used to see aura, because when Dadi Gulzar sits, I can see her aura, and then when she go in trance, the aura is little lesser, and then when Bab Dada comes, it's a high aura. You can recognize with the aura that Baba has come. And because those days we were not putting cameras in front of Baba or to see eyes open or not. And then I had to follow that aura, because even I used to sit in sight. So not even the eyes were not such visible to me, but from aura I can feel. And so I used to see Baba has come, and I turned the lights on, and Baba start giving drishti. And those days Baba and Dadis used to sit in front of Baba on floor only. And so, but then once I got a message from Nilu Ben that Baba has mentioned that he asked child and not to turn on the light immediately, because Baba has to tune his body according the light, you know, that's human world. So it takes little time, and so not to turn on full light immediately. And so this was the special experience of having recognizing aura, because you know, not all the trans messenger get kind of shaken body, but you had to see from their aura that they had come back from the trance, and it was a kind of a good feeling, of course. And people used to tease me that you get the first drishti from Baba. Of course, that was my fortune, that I go in front of Baba, close to Baba, and get chance getting drishti or the feelings or the vibrations. And I used to call myself as Baba's staff.
Baba's what?
Baba's staff.
Staff.
You know,
Baba's
like
staff.
He, you know, the president goes somewhere and then the staff reaches before and then get the preparation. And then, so similarly, some of us, we used to prepare the things before Baba comes, like a toli department will prepare toli and the cleaning or the brother who look after auditorium will get the things ready, and you know, some special spray was then because Baba is coming, like some special fragrance. So you know, it was same microphone, of course, but I just take care of microphone, especially, you know, shouldn't be dusty, and look after that way, and keep my mind free from other things, part of Dada's meeting, or to set up the recording properly. So we shouldn't miss the recording and all that. So that day of Baba was like a kind of a auspicious day for us, few of us, and we used to get a special treatment from Baba also, you know. I remember my brother who used to look after hall, meditation hall. And the end of the meeting, when Baba, before Baba leaves, Baba used to give toli to the staff or the dadis. And then we used to get a special toli from Baba. I remember once a brother who went somewhere and he was not visible to Baba Dada, and Baba said, okay, you take toli for Ashok to give.
Wow.
No? So, as I said, we used to be a kind of a staff for Baba. So we were getting special treatment also. And I remember once there was Thursday, when Baba came on Wednesday and Baba left on Thursday. There was around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And a brother who used to prepare bhog for Baba and asked Dadi that today Baba is here, so why shouldn't we offer Baba and bhog directly? And Dadi said, okay, go prepare. And he prepared jalebis, you know. And he brought the jalebis in front of Baba, and Baba just closed the eye before he reaches. He took a long tene, and the dadi saw the brother. He has come, and dadi said, "Baba," and Baba opened eye again, and they asked dadi asked the brother who prepared the bhog to feed Baba. You know, when you prepare jalebi, and it's a bit hot, of course, because this, even if you take off from the fire, it's still going on the process. Okay. So, what he did, brother took a piece of the jalebi and put Baba's mouth, and it was a bit hot. And then Baba didn't say anything, and Baba also took the piece of jalebi and put his then he realized that, oh, it's too hot. So some experience like that, you know, being that in that role, we used to get special treatment, of course, with him being with him. Similar incident happened once again that day. You know, Muni when he used to chop the fruit for Babdata in the And after, in the end, before Baba leaves, Dadi used to feed fruit to Baba Dada. And then I remember once mango, Baba and Dadi fed to Baba Dada. And then Baba knew that it's a bit bitter. Then when Muni Ben came in front of Baba, and Baba took a piece of the mango and put her mouth, then she realized it's a bit not that sweet.
Right.
And then later, when she used to chop the fruit before giving to and putting in that dish, she started, you know, tasting the tasting fruit before she offered Baba Dada. So these are things.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much. So thanks to David Bai, thanks to Tulsi Bai, wonderful sharing and great stories of Baba's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. That's my pleasure to be with Baba Dada and Dadis. You know, of course. Good sustenance. Thank you, Baba. It was my fortune.